Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading Psalms 100. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Grady, thanks for reading the word to us this morning. Appreciate that. If you would like to stand, please do so now and lift your voices and hearts to the Lord in praise. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Spirit washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. At my side, angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his good. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. My Savior all the day long. Amen.
I
me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. My word is a lamp unto my feet and a
I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, raising up the broken to jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to sing your life in me. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like. Once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes. Bring yourself down,
morning. Communion, a time of reflection. Out of all the years, this year is definitely a year to reflect. Chaos, bitterness, injustice, loss, you name it, this year has it. This has most certainly been a year in which most of us, if not all of us, have encountered seemingly incomprehensible difficulties. Nonetheless, I encourage you to reflect with me on the book of Habakkuk. Similar to Habakkuk's plea to God, many of us are wondering, first and foremost, especially this year, where is God? Secondly, many of us may wonder, why is he doing this to us? In response to Habakkuk's pleas, God eventually reveals his intentions by painting the beautiful yet spectacularly authentic picture of the Bible's larger story, that in the fullness of time, God himself, through the person and works of Jesus Christ, would come in the flesh to bring justice and mercy for all. Likewise, our hope must be built upon the foundations of our powerful and loving God. We live, really live, by trusting God. We will make progress as we improve our relationship with him and seek his face each day. He is our strength and our place of safety. He is the basis of our hope for our ongoing spiritual renewal. So how then did Habakkuk, and for that matter, can we take refuge on this very Sunday morning? Let's recount God's faithful deliverance of Israel during the wilderness wanderings. As Israel experienced deliverance from Egypt and the establishment of the Promised Land, so also Christ's followers today experience a much greater deliverance, a deliverance towards which every earthly Old Testament deliverance pointed, deliverance from sin with the promise of a heavenly home. Consequently, the New Testament proclaims the good news that in God's wise and purposeful providence, God himself has come in Jesus Christ to deliver his people from the bondage of sin through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son. Let us come before the table during this time with hearts open and full of anticipation for the full and beautiful provision, mercy, and sacrifice made on our behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to gather in your house. We thank you that you've allowed us to come here and freely speak, worship, and praise your name. We thank you for what you made manifest in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask that during this time, you would tune our hearts as to what these emblems represent, all through him. And it's in his mighty name that we pray. Amen.
Some people think you're distant, just some words on a page, that you're nothing more than fables handed down along the way. But I've seen you part the waters when no one else can pull me from the deep to who you are to me.
Some people think you just live in cathedrals made of stone, but I know you live inside my heart. I know that it's your home. And I've seen you in the sunset and in the eyes of a stranger on the street. That's who you are to me.
You're amazing, faithful, love's open door. When I'm empty, you fill me with hunger for more of your mercy, your goodness. Lord, you're the air that I breathe. That's who you are.
Am I still worthy of your love?
But I know that I get stronger when I'm talking to you down on my knees.
You're everything I need. You're amazing, faithful, love's open door. When I'm empty, you fill me with hunger for more of your mercy, your goodness. Lord, you're the air that I breathe. That's who
Jonathan, Natalie, what a blessing, what a great song. I am going to turn it over to Bart, and I just thank him in advance for coming and giving us the word this morning. Bart.
Well, I'll say one thing about Waterford. They know how to set the bar awful high. That was a beautiful message at the table, and I really appreciated that. Man, probably right there should probably finish the message, honestly. It was beautiful, and that song, I appreciate that. You know, anybody that's ever had the honor of, you know, preaching God's word that says music doesn't make a difference, I don't understand that, but a song like that moves me. It truly does, and I thank John and Natalie for bringing that. It's a special day today. It's the 27th of December, the last Sunday in 2020, and I'm really excited about that. Not because it's the last Sunday in 2020, I'm just excited because it's the Lord's Day. And I'm amongst God's people in a place that I can feel the Spirit with an opportunity to tell someone who might not know about Jesus, about Jesus. It's a real blessing. I've known Joel for a long time. Joel has served with us at VIP camp at Round Lake for years. The kids have grown up with us. I've known the kids since they were little, and it's been an honor to be there, and it truly is an honor to be in Joel's pulpit. And I appreciate him allowing me to do that. I truly do. I'm going to apologize to you in advance for him allowing me to do that. But now I hope Joel's having a good vacation, and I'm honored to be here. We have a really special responsibility as Christians. We really do. And God has led me to the book of Joshua today. I'd like for you to turn there. If you have a Bible, please pick it up. I like to read with you, not to you. History is important when we read the Bible, and understanding history and some things about what we study is very important. Joshua, as you well know, is the successor to Moses. His job was to lead the Israelites into the promised land, and he did just that. He led the Israelites into the promised land. They conquered great cities, great people fell to them. The promises of God were fulfilled, and they were given the land that God promised his people years and years previous to that. Years passed, and I'm in chapter 24. Joshua's along in life now. He's not far from his death. He's progressed through his job. He's progressed through what God asked him to do. And in chapter 24, I feel as if this is almost a locker room talk. Joshua's going to give you one last go at it before he goes home to be with the Lord. He wants you to know what's important. So I'm going to do a fair amount of reading today, and I'll make it somewhat quick. But I'm going to start in 24, right in verse 1. We're going to start right there in Joshua. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. All the important people were to be there. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel," keep in mind, "thus says the Lord, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river," the other side of the river, the other side of the Jordan. They weren't in the promised land. They dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. "Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob, to Esau and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you, so I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand, out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow." I read all that because I want you to see that Joshua is reiterating what God has continued to do for his people. He continued to deliver when they probably didn't deserve it. He continued to uplift when they probably had gone against his word. God is a faithful God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a never-changing God. He wasn't a changing God at this time. Never will he be. But he had delivered them from all of these things, and I think it's important. There are several things I want you to see. It's this short little message. We have to be very, very conscious and thankful for what God has done for us. And I, you know, sometimes I tell people, I preach to myself and let you listen. And that's kind of where I'm at today. I'm going to preach to myself today, and I'm going to let you listen. You know, I'd say, Bart, you're 52 years old, and God has blessed you with health for those years. He's blessed you with people that have loved you. He blessed you for 28 years when you didn't know him. I was 28 before I was saved. He protected me through those times before I knew God. He would say those things. God, I think Joshua, if he would hear, he would say, look back. I don't know your history. Your history doesn't matter. I mean, truly, that's between you and God. But I think he would say, look back, Bart, and see where God has been in your life before you gave him the credit and after you gave him the credit. Look back. Assess where God's been in your life. I'm going to read on a little further. Now fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. Make a decision. I think Joshua would undoubtedly walk up to me and say, Bart, make a decision. What's it going to be? Is it going to be your high-paying job? Is it going to be your new car? Bart, what's it going to be? Is it going to be your house? Is it going to be the world? Is there going to be God? I think that's what Joshua would throw down in front of me. He would say, you're going to make a choice today. Bart, you're going to make a choice today. What's it going to be? So I think you need to assess where God is in your life, assess what God has done in your life, and decide if you're going to make a decision for God today. I'll get to my point. It just takes me a little while. I like what Joshua does next. After he says today, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. Joshua goes down in verse 15 and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think that's when God would step up and Joshua would step up to Bart and say, Bart, to be a leader, you have to be an example. You have to exemplify the promises you say God make. You have to exemplify what it means to be a Christian. Yeah, it's not always easy. The world doesn't always like you. God told us you'll suffer for his sake. We'll suffer for his sake. The world will beat us up. But I think an important thing about being a leader, and I don't mean me. I mean the Christian fellowship. I mean the church. I mean leaders in a world that desperately needs us. A leader has to be willing to step into deep water to set an example. Knowing you may not be the best swimmer, but you've got to step in there willing to make example, because people don't follow that which doesn't, the man that doesn't practice what he preaches. I mean, I like to use the trite sayings, but truly, we are in a world that desperately needs God. We are in a world that desperately needs leaders that will exemplify what God expects. And it's going to hurt. You know, I'm not a preacher, guys. I'm a country kid. I don't have any background in ministry. I don't have any background in that. There was a point in my life I just reached and God just said, you're going to preach. And it wasn't even a discussion. It was totally one-sided. It's kind of like being with my wife sometimes. And I was like, you're going to do that. But I was called to preach. So I do it just because I love God. I don't have any great background in it. I said I wasn't saved until I was 28 years old. But one thing has always been clear to me. No one follows a poor example. If you step out there and you're a poor example, at some point it will come back. At some point it will be thrown in your face. Now that being said, I've made tons of mistakes. I'm preaching to myself and letting you listen. I have made a lot of mistakes in my life. I would step back and I would take several back. Some of the mistakes I made, I wouldn't take back because someone else benefited from it. Someone else grew from it, seeing me suffer. And as a leader, I don't mean me, I mean the church. As Christians, there are going to be times we're going to step out and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. You know, you step up, maybe you witness to someone because you feel as if the Spirit's there, and you step up and witness, and the person is unaccepting, and they make a scene, and they hurt you, they hurt your feelings. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to be hurt in that situation. I just want you to know that God put it on your heart to step up, and you planted the seed, and it will sprout. Even when it hurts, when you've done the right thing for God, when you've been the example, the reward will come eternally. I believe that. The only thing I have going for me when I step into the pulpit is I believe it like crazy. I'm passionate about what I believe. I'm passionate about what Jesus did for me. I'm passionate about it. I don't think he did it because he had to. I think he did it because he loved me so much he'd have it no other way. That's what I believe. I'll control myself. I get wound up. I believe Jesus Christ doesn't make a mistake. I believe that. I think man makes plenty, but his blood covers each and every one. So we have to assess what God's done in our life. Number one, we have to make a decision for him, and we have to step out as an example into a world that desperately needs us. Don't be berated, guys. The world desperately, desperately needs the word of Jesus Christ today. Desperately needs the word of Jesus Christ. I'm going to skip a few verses. I'm going to go on down to about 17. I guess I'm only skipping one. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up and out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way that we went among all the people through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. See, that's what a great leader does. That's what a great congregation does. That's what a great fellowship does. That's what a great Christian group does, is they, I don't want to say influence, but they bring understanding to other people so that they want to step in to the light of Jesus. And that's what happened here when Joshua stepped up and proclaimed he and his family would serve the Lord. Others saw his passion for it. Others saw Joshua's passion, and they too fell into making a decision. They decided, okay, that makes sense. We will step forward. We will follow Joshua's lead. We will step into our role in God's house. But Joshua said to the people, listen to this. You cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. How do you think that went over? How do you think that went? You ever had one of those situations when you think you have it all figured out? You know, you're playing Scrabble and you got the next... My wife, I got to digress for just a minute. My wife has a vocabulary like an elephant. And she remembers everything. So we play Scrabble, kind of. I play. I have my next move planned, and it's a huge score. It never fails. She's always before me in line, and I have my next move planned, and it's going to be a huge score, and I can't wait to gloat on it, and she plays a letter right in front of it. And it doesn't even score anything. It's one of them little two-letter words that scores like 3 points, but it beats me out of 17 points. That's happened to you. Oh, my, where was I? My point was, he said, you can't serve this God. My point was, when you think you've got it all figured out, you think you've made the right move, and you're going to step in to where you need to be, then someone ahead of you, like Joshua, says, you can't serve the Lord. And we know that at this point, Joshua was just making a point. He was just making a point that, you know, they needed to sincerely accept God and serve God. He's a jealous God. He'll not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. See, that's what Joshua was looking for. Not one of those half-hearted, yeah. You know, we'll accept Christ. Let's just get this over with. Dinner's ready. Let's go. That's not what Joshua wanted. Joshua wanted the people to understand this is it. Joshua knew his time was short. He knew it was important that the people understand. And he said, listen, and he wanted it to be very clear. Make no mistake. You will serve the Lord sincerely or he will go against you. Make no mistake. Joshua wanted it to be very clear. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart toward the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statue in an ordinance, and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, listen to this, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us. I think it's important that we're accountable. I think it's important that we have accountability. You know, accountability sometimes comes from a prayer partner. Sometimes accountability comes something that just sparks your mind. And, you know, I don't care what you set in your life as a stone, as a reminder. You know, maybe it's your keychain. I have no idea. I have no idea what it is. Maybe it's your wedding ring. You know, maybe it's the calendar on the refrigerator. I don't care what it is. I just want you to put something in your life that reminds you of the commitment, the true commitment that Joshua had asked, that you have made to Jesus or God. And this time, you know, we're pre-Jesus, obviously, but we are in a time where we believe in Christ and salvation through his sacrifice. But I want you to put something in your life that when you look at it, each and every day, it reminds you of the commitment you made to God, that you not be half-hearted in it, It reminds you of that. Assess what God has done for your life. Make a decision for Him. Be an example to the people around you. And first and foremost, put something in your life that will remind you of the commitment that you made to Him, that will hold you accountable to Him. I'm excited about 2021. I'm excited about next week. I pray God gives me another week that I get to stand for His people again and preach the Word. But you know, most of all, I'm thankful for Jesus. And I've made a promise to myself a long time ago and that I would never leave. I'd never end a message without an invitation. I'd never leave a message without giving the opportunity for someone to accept Christ as their Savior. And today is no exception. I wouldn't ask for a hand. I'm not going to ask for you to come forward. But what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you have truly never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never stepped forward and made that commitment, tell your sister, tell your mom, tell your brother, your dad, tell your cousin, tell somebody. You know, if something was different and I've done something different today, I want to know more about Jesus. I want you to be accountable for that. And you know, there's nothing more powerful than a strong witness. And when someone comes forth with a desire to know Jesus, tell them, you know, you need to look back in your life and see what He's done for you. You need to make a decision for Him. But first and foremost, after you accept Christ, you need to step out and be a strong leader and be a strong witness. Because guys, one thing you'll know, and one thing I don't need to tell you, is as a Christian, someone is always looking. Because the one that doesn't believe is always looking for the trip. Always looking for the mistake. Always looking for the wrong word. Always looking for the wrong situation to prove you wrong. Be prepared to be a good example in a world that desperately needs us. Don't let 2020 get you down, guys, because the book I believe in right here, the book that I preach from passionately, tells me that in the end, for those that believe in Jesus Christ and give their life and are baptized into remission of sins, receives everlasting life. Everlasting life. I truly believe that. It's been a joy. It's been a joy to be here. I thank Joel again. I thank you guys for having me. And I thank Jesus Christ for giving us another sunny day. Because there's a soul out there that hasn't accepted Him yet. And today will be the day. Today will be the day. I don't know that it's here. I don't know where it is. Today will be the day. The angels will sing for jubilee when someone else accepts Christ. Father, we thank You for this time. I thank You for Your Son. In His name, amen.
Thank you so much, Bart. This is our hymn of decision. If you'd like to, please stand. And if anybody has a decision to make for Christ, please come forward.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.